All right, what I want to do, like I was saying, let's just quickly get into it. I will just share something briefly, and then we will pray together. I will just stand together and declare the word of God, and then we'll close. Quickly, if you have your Bibles, open to the book of James chapter 3. Let's start with that, the book of James chapter 3. Then we'll read from Proverbs. All right, James chapter 3. Oh, from verse 1, I'll rush and slow down when I get to the area I really want. He said, let not many of us become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. He said, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, notice that, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. That is, the sign of perfection outwardly is how somebody controls what he or she says with the mouth. He said, now if we put the bit into the horse's mouth so they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the sheep also. Though they are so great and are driven by strange winds, he said, they are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. That is, it can boast of great things that are accomplished. Just like the tongue, see how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. That is an illustration of what the tongue does. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. Now notice that, not just the body, but the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. Now, he says, in answer many things, for every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Now let me just stop here because of time. I've read the main thing. A lot of things he was saying there are more facts that he was rebuking people concerning, that you shouldn't let your life be like this. Like he said, these things ought not to be this way. But why I read this is for us to bring out into our hearts again the importance of the tongue in the life of every believer in Christ Jesus. He's emphasizing here that the course of life is directed by a small thing. We'll keep on teaching these things as we go on. What controls our life is not a big thing outside there, but generally there are little things we do, little choices we make. Are you getting my point? For example, here, concerning how we use our tongue, it decides things that are much bigger than we realize. That's what he was saying. And what I'm trying to do today is to get us to start the year, because this is our first prayer meeting for the year 2014, and I want us to use the opportunity to start that year on a proper course. He said earlier in which verse is that now? He's talking about the course of life, verse 6. He said, he sets on fire the course of our life. That is, the tongue has control over the direction that the whole of your life takes. Now, the other one I said we should open to is Proverbs chapter 18. What did he say there in verse 21? He said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. That is, the power to set life in the direction of, that set our lives in the direction of life, or to set in the direction of death, the Bible says, is in the power of the tongue. And that is the discipline of a child of God to learn how to use it so that he or she may enjoy the fruit of the use of the lips and the appropriate use of the tongue. You are getting the point there. And it's very important every day. You know, I say something all the time, that when it comes to prayer, people think they just go to church to pray, then live a life that negates, you understand, the very things they are praying about. Somebody kneels down or gathers with his brethren in church and prays for the country. And the next thing he starts saying, is that is when he's discussing, especially after using two bottles of Gouda. You get to my point. then all the restrictions on his soul has been released. And that's how sin, the thing that are deep inside his heart. In fact, this country is dead. You understand my point? And this is a man who just finished an all-night prayer meeting on Friday night into Saturday morning. And he sits down, and she sits down, starts explaining what is wrong with his country and how the fellow is sure that we're not going anywhere. And gathers in church on Sunday, I said, before we go to, let us pray for our country. He said, God, in your righteousness, arise. And we'll be shouting, praying all kinds of tongues. Some of them real, some of them fake. Tongues of men, tongues of angels, tongues of devils. All of them combined. You want to know who's really praying? There's no problem. Just wait till Monday when I get to the office. You want to know whether the fellow spoke tongues of men or tongues of angels or tongues of devils? Let him just sit down on Monday morning. What happened? They haven't paid? Are you serious? This country is finished. Why? Because he didn't pay one salary. Then suddenly the country is finished. That is a misuse, are you getting me, of the tongue. Don't forget what I say all the time. Life is a battle of
words.
That's what it is. Job went through a lot of trial just so that they will hear what he will say. The temptations of life are to ensure you say something that is in agreement. You know, we'll get to that later, but something happens recently. I have a feeling that even before people die, they have to persuade them, you have to die. That's even when they are dying them, you know what I mean? Like maybe somebody's in an accident now and the car is tumbling. The spirits will come, look, we have to take you away, we have to take you away. That's what I'm thinking, you know. I'm not very sure. I'm like, the recruits will say, I'm just feeling around, you know. You know, the other day I was watching a program on TV, and this man was not even a Christian. He was in prison, and somebody attacked him in prison, stabbed him, and tried to kill him, and then succeeded in killing him. So they moved him into... The doctor certified him there when he got to hospital, because it took about an hour and a half before they could, with all his injuries, take him to hospital. When he got there, they tried to treat him, decided he was dead, and they kept him on the slab and wheeled him to go and prepare the body for whatever. He said he noticed that this was the man telling the story, so he didn't die, but he was dead. He said what he will notice is that he will be standing and watching his body. Then suddenly his back inside is hearing voices, people talking. They will be standing and watching his body. He said he just told himself that no, that because he went to prison unjustly. He said that if I die now, that will be a waste of all his years of struggling and everything. So he just rejected death. He said no, that I can't die at this point. Suddenly he went back into the body. Then he sneezed one powerful sneeze. If people looked around and said, well, you know, of course, shouting, everybody. They had moved him there, put him on his lap. The doctor had checked that this man was dead. He said he was watching his own body and saying, it looks like I'm dead. I'm feeling one kind, you know. Then he'll come out of the body. He's back. After a while, he realized that he was dead. You know, before Jesus Christ died, he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. It's as if, this is what I'm saying, all the problems in life are to persuade somebody that you are dead. And when you agree, and some people, even before they've died, they agree long before they fell sick. They have not fallen sick. By 2013, they're already saying that, man, the way this country is going, man, don't die. Nothing don't happen, no. Nothing. Just the way my life is going, I don't die. And even though a lot of pains people go through is to persuade the person that, listen, let's just remove you from this earth. Because death and life, that's why I'm bringing up these issues. It says in the power of the tongue. Remember what we said earlier, that you set the course of life. And like I said to you, that's what I want us to do today. Let's set the course of this next 12 months for our lives with the word of God. That's the most important thing. You don't set the course of your life with desires, because desires change. Are you getting my point? You know, earlier on today, I was telling my wife, I said, man, this car, I like it so much. I have to have it. Kai, sweetheart, pray with me, and that kind of thing. She then asked me a simple question. Have you been inside? I said, come to think of it. No. He said, well, so what's all of this? I said, now only outside. He said, look, that was how you liked this car that time. Wanted. That brother bought it, and he gave you a ride in it, and you hated it instantly. Are you getting my point? You don't set direction for your life by desire. That's human desire. Okay, you set direction for your life by the word of God, because desire has changed. You've been confessing in the name of Jesus. By September, I should be living in Yugoslavia. Then by June, they break up to 17 countries. What are you going to do? Meanwhile, you've been confessing for 2 years. You are moving to Yugoslavia. Then the time you set for it, you don't even know where to go. Whether it's Croatia or Serbia or Bosnia or Kosovo. You don't even know which one is which anymore. And you don't want to go anywhere anymore because of all the troubles they went through to break to those countries. You don't want it. When I was a young man, Jos was the most peaceful place to stay in this country. You remember? Yes. When I was in school, everybody wanted to go to Jos. Then wahala started. Now, anytime you hear that some people kill some people, it's in that area. Anytime you open the newspapers and read, the chance that it's there is more than half. So the United Nations is now talking to federal government, stop this killing now. What I'm trying to say is that you don't set the course for your life by human desires. No. You set the course for your life according to the word of God. That's what you do. Because the word of God, is the Bible says, is alive and active. You know what that means? It can reason. You know, the word of God is treated by the scriptures like a living person who can think. If the word says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream, it knows whether to calculate it in naira, in dollars, in pounds, in gold. It knows. So you can't declare 2 billion naira. God says, if I devalue the naira before that time, it wouldn't be worth a quarter of what you're talking about today. I remember when I was in school, a friend of mine, we had that joke. He said, if you were to ask God for something now, what were you asking for? He said, he'll ask for 2 billion so that he will never have to ask him again. ShopRite was built for 5 billion naira. So you see, that 2 billion cannot even build half of that ShopRite today. But that time we were asking for it. It was like this was 1989, 90. 2 billion that time would have bought the whole of Enugu, not only. Are you getting my point? But then things change. That's why we don't set the course of our lives according to those physical things. If you want to declare prosperity, declare the word of God kind of prosperity. He said prosperity like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. You live it like that. You live it like that. That's what I mean. You understand? That's what I mean. You know, when people say that when you want something from God, be very, very specific. You've heard me teach again and again. I don't believe it's possible. I don't believe it's doable. I don't believe it's possible. So you have to be very, very specific. If you want a car, tell God the height of the car, the length of it, the size of the tire. If you want a car, tell the Lord what you need it for, how you need it, the kind of thing that you like. Even my tailor, he chooses your clothes by he said he will decide what you will talk to him, he will check your personality. If it wasn't me, he's making this kind of thing for. He will have put colors everywhere, patch like I'll come out looking like Two-Face. No, not Two-Face. What's the other guy? P-Square. No, P-Square. After a while, he gets used to your personality. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? You can't. So if a human being can do that, how much more God? Are you getting what I'm saying? A human being can do that. How much more God? There are things you are praying to God for. God says, listen, my girl, come. If I give unto you, no go like him. You are praying, you say, God, say, listen, you know I love you, you know I know you. Come. Let me whisper to you. Just you one small sign, what is inside? Say, Lord, did you take a record of the last year's prayer? Can we wipe it? Where's the delete button? That is, but one thing that can never change. The Bible says, only the word of God, all right? It abides forever. So when we're setting the course of our lives, we're setting it according to the word of God. Are you getting my point? We're not setting it according to our human desires. The word is alive, I was saying, is active. It knows how to convert the substance in it to the physical reality at each point in time. It knows how to, even if you don't tell it. You get what I'm trying to explain? It knows how to. Many of the things you will experience in life, you didn't specifically ask for them. I never specifically, as an example, asked the Lord to come to Enugu. You know, I give that testimony once in a while. And let me say to you, the place where God will lift you up, you become like another Joseph. You don't even know the Egypt will accept people like you today. You get my point? Yes. As of today, your mind is not even going near there. If there are countries you read about in the papers, they say, pray for them, say, what's my business? You just open the page and continue. And the angels are laughing. They say, you will head this country. You'll be the most important person in this country. It's not Nigeria. It's not at least. And you're not even thinking of it as of today. And I'm not joking about it.
Amen.
Yeah, say that amen.
Amen.
You've heard my story again and again. The time I came to Enugu to come and start working and then start this ministry afterwards was my second time in life of coming to Enugu. It had never been a prayer point. Lord, that city. The one we prayed for when we were young was just because I liked quiet places. The closest I came to wanting to live in eastern Nigeria was when we went to Umuahia to go and visit my friend. Umuahia had the kind of setting, the kind of life. If you know the kind of person I am, I don't like plenty noise. I like neat, quiet place. I saw the place, I said, wow, this place is nice. But so if God said, choose a place in eastern Nigeria, I've gone to Umuahia. The place I liked were Ibadan, Akure, Jos, Umuahia. I'm serious. I'm not joking about that. As for Enugu, we came one day, went into UNEC for a conference. Then one of my friends said, let's go and visit one sister that was in GRE. And went to her house. She made pandeyam for us. Then we found our way back to the conference we came for and stayed on campus throughout, entered the bus, and went back to Benin. There was nothing was stirred up in me to love the city. Nothing. Yet God said, okay. When the time came, guys, arrange him, send him there. And that was what happened. Somebody came, you should come to Enugu. He said, they will need you there. You know, they need the pathologist. I said, And that person said, I was telling you the other day. You did? I can't remember hearing it. Then one day, one brother was just with me. He didn't know this was an issue in my life at that point. He just said, Enugu is a nice place. So Enugu is a, I was looking at him like, they sent this guy. He did not know I was considering it. I just took that his confirmation as the word of God. Before then, I had never prayed about it. I never crossed my mind. One of you is going to Zimbabwe. What you are going to do specifically, I do not know. But you will go there, you will prosper.
Amen.
You will shine as a light of God there.
Amen.
You will be a blessing to multitudes in that place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes, even that child is shouting amen inside there. Why did I say that? Because we don't set the course of our lives according to our own desires. We set it according to the word of God. And that word is living, is alive. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It will arrange the life for you as it is appropriate, as it will fully manifest the glory of God in that season. I hope you understood that point. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to pray. Everybody, let's rise to our feet. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's do something individually. Just first of all, thank God that you are. Just say that I am a child of God, therefore my words have power. Use your own words to just thank him. Thank the Lord that you are a child of God. Say, I am a son of God. Whether you're a man or a woman, the same thing applies. That is, God's word in my mouth, the word that I speak, which is the word of God, has power. Thank him for that righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. It is because of that righteousness that you can speak. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is spiritual power. And the way by which we have attained righteousness is not by our own works, not because I have given mightily. I have preached to 10,000 people. I have prayed and prayed. I've done 200 days fasting in 1 year. No, that's not how you attain righteousness. Righteousness is attained by faith. Righteousness is attained by faith. Righteousness is attained by faith. Because you have believed in the Lord Jesus, you have been accepted. That is the foundation of your righteousness. So say, Father, I thank you because I've been made righteous. You are not saying that I've never done anything wrong. I have prayed so hard. I have preached so hard. I've been the best Christian everywhere. That's not what we are saying. We are saying that I have believed and therefore I have been called righteous. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have believed and therefore I have been called righteous. And because of that, I have boldness to speak. Because of that, the word of my mouth, they have power. They have spiritual power mighty through God. That the words that I speak, they have power. And I'm going to declare those words again and they will set a righteous course for this year for me in the name of Jesus. Say they will set a righteous course for my life for this year in the name of Jesus. I want you to declare and say after me, say, I have the power of God working in me.
I have the power of God working in me.
I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I am seated in heavenly places in Christ.
Say like you believe in my words have power. life is in the power of my tongue.
Life is in the power of my
tongue.
And I will eat the fruit thereof.
Say, I have chosen life.
I have chosen life.
And I live.
And I live.
In Christ I live.
In Christ
I have chosen life.
I have chosen
and
life.
I live.
And I live.
I have rejected death.
I have rejected
and I will not
death.
Die. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, my fountain is a
fountain of life.
Say, my fountain is a
fountain of life.
And bitter waters do not come from there.
My heart is filled with the word of God.
And I live by the power of the spoken word. Say,
I live by the power of the spoken word.
Now, the reason why I read it, it said that is this. It said, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. That's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. And with the increase of his leaves shall he be filled. That's what it means. That is what will come to you in life, because as a child of God, God didn't send you to life to go and struggle physically. The things of life are supposed to arrange for you as a harvest. I don't know whether you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
That's what your struggle is supposed to be in the word of God. He said, labor to enter into his rest. Are you getting me? So we labor with the word of God, fill our hearts with the word of God, and declare those words. And we are satisfied with the fruit of those declarations. That's it. You are satisfied. That is, if you, you know, I say this all the time. One of my sermons I'm working on, I've not finished it, is talking about, I talk about the shrewd man. I think in Luke chapter 18, when the servant was supposed to be removed from his office as a manager, and I said that, what do I do? He made arrangements, tried to get people to, you know, to show him favor by showing them favor ahead of time. Now, this is the point. The Lord now said, he commended that man because he has acted shrewdly. And what was it that he did? He wasn't saying that you to be wicked. He was saying that, you see, the children of this age, they are wiser in the things that have to do with their own generation than the children of light. What do we mean? The children of life, they are taught what to do to make their future, you know, beautiful. They don't do it. They are doing the things of the world. Let me give an example. What is the power for long life? We'll discuss it as time goes on. It is not jogging. It is not diet. But you see the way Christians diet and jog and exercise. Invest thousands and thousands of naira in exercise equipment. As if that's the pop, that's the thing that will keep them alive. Listen to me, it can kill you fast. A weight can drop on you, knock you unconscious while you are in the gym. You are getting my point?
Yes, sir.
What keeps a Christian alive is not how much you jog. It's not how much you diet. What keeps you alive is the fruit. Are you getting my point? Of the lips. That is it. Death and life is in the power of your tongue, not in the power of your jogging. No. People have dropped dead going around the Para Square. And what kills people is not only heart condition and diabetes and things like that. Road traffic accidents kill people. Yes? And that one doesn't care whether you are thin or fat or slim or tall. It doesn't matter. As a Christian, this is what Jesus was telling us. That you are, I was going to have a sermon over the next few days. What Jesus was teaching us is that, look, spend energy in the things that have to do with your own generation. In the things that where you have power. Spend energy on it. It's one of the reasons why, look, listen, I like exercising. In fact, yesterday, my wife and I still went, was it yesterday or the day before? Went to game to go and price exercise equipment. When I went on holiday in Boni, I was on the gym every day. They had the most beautiful gym I've ever seen. I loved it. I've been carrying weight since the days of Oliver Orok and Iron Babasi. That was in 1984, Los Angeles 84, when I saw those men. When I was in university, Dino Bravo's picture was on my wall, and I was a Christian. I was not an unbeliever. I was a fellowship president. No, so I'm trying to explain to you that don't think I'm against such thing. I'm not. I'm serious. I put the picture of Dino Bravo on my wall. My friends and I used to use bulwarkers, all kinds of things, just to try and give some shape to your system. Are you getting my point? So it is not ungodly. That's not what I'm saying. But it's not the key to long life. Just the key to looking like I like to look. That's all. That is all. So it's instead of spending all that energy buying books on diet, they have all kinds of diet. Hallelujah diet. All of them are worldly diets. I don't care whether you put the name Jesus diet on it. People will go read the book of the Old Testament and show you how honey is good for you and olive oil, and they will not go on Christian television and be teaching us how to cook. There's a food network on DSTV, I hope you know. If I want to know how to cook, I open the food network. When I tune to TBN, please don't teach me how to cook.
Teach me the word of God to put in my mouth. Teach me the word of God. That is what I need. That's what will keep me alive. Let me tell you how the word of God works. Even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Very important. So the Lord was telling that why do people spend energy in the things that are of this world? Meanwhile, their own things, they are not spending energy in it. People who spend millions of naira to go for a 3-month course in Lagos Business School on business strategies. If you give them a set of books and teachings and materials on the word of God concerning business, okay, pay half a million. They say, Pastor, this is not expensive. They are willing to give LBS 3 million naira. Giving LBS 3 million, is it bad? No, it's not bad. It's not bad. But it will not prosper a believer who does not have his... Listen, if you don't have your money, your time invested in the word of God, you are saying that it's not important to you. Thank God that you can download messages free. And we can get all those things free. Thank God for the fact that it's free. But it is not free because it is not expensive. It is only free because God wants everybody, whether they have money, to have access to it or not. That's what the Lord was saying. That, oh boy, oh girl, you want to prosper? You can read business books, oh, but you will not prosper until a blessing is being commanded from the realm of the Spirit. Therefore, spend your energy, first of all, on the things of the Spirit. So the children of this world, they are wiser. They know the things that they have. They are using it. Children of light are abandoning the things that they have. They are using the things of this children of this world. For every hour you spend jogging so as to keep your heart healthy, better spend that same amount of time declaring the word of God over your whole system. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So that's why I made that statement. So let's declare it again. Say, my heart is filled with the word of God.
My heart is filled with the word of God.
And I live by the power of the spoken word. He said, with my words, I fill my life with the peace of God.
With my words,
I fill my life with the joy of the Holy Spirit.
I fill my life with health,
protection,
prosperity,
and all manifestations of abundant life.
I fill my life with these things with my words.
Therefore declare, I take control through God over 2014.
And I say to this year,
listen,
the will of God will be done in you.
The will of God concerning my life will be done in you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Now the first thing we'll take is about our spiritual lives. And you will declare as follows. Say, in 2014,
I will walk closer with the Lord.
I command a thirst for the things of God to come into me. Now listen to the scripture we are basing that upon. It said, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. It says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He also said it like this. He said, thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and delight of my heart, for I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now listen to that. That is, we are saying, according to these words we are declaring. You know, we said, because he has said, therefore we can boldly say. That is, whatever we are going to say will be based upon what he has said. Therefore, let's say it again. Say,
this year,
I will walk closer with the Lord.
I will walk closer with the Lord.
I will have a thirst for the things of the Spirit.
I will have a thirst for the Spirit.
The word of God will be precious to me.
The word of God is precious.
And it will be precious in my home. See, I look at the things that are above
and
not at the things that are beneath.
In this year,
I make a renewed commitment to the word of God,
to know him better,
and to walk with him closer.
I receive understanding.
I receive insight from the Lord.
I declare that I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of God.
Say, the eyes of my heart is enlightened.
The eye of my heart is enlightened.
I walk in the will of God for my life. I will not be afraid of tomorrow. But in this year, my confidence will be in the Lord alone. Fear will not rule me. It will not decide my decisions. I tap into eternal life continually by delighting in the Word of God. By delighting in the Word of God. I speak to my soul. In 2014, delight in the Lord. Delight in the Word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, in this year 2014, I will study the Word daily. I will love it above all else. I will endure sound doctrine. Say it, I renounce the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of the things of this age. Now, why we say that is because those are the things that distract people from the Word of God. That's it. That's why we have to declare that. That these things, you will not have a hold of me this year. No, you will not. You will not. But my delight will be in the Word of the Lord. Let me say to you, the things that human beings pursue are supposed to be additions for the lives of Christians. I like to say it, and I'll say it again. You will prosper so much, you won't even know what to do with prosperity.
Amen.
You know, Christmas time, you know, we buy gifts for people, you know, for people that you're supposed to honor, our parents. So, I went to see my parents-in-law, so I gave my father-in-law something. So my wife said, mommy, let me go and bring. After he said it, she once I said, hey, if it's closed, don't bring it here. Instead of taking, I did drag off. My wife found herself into her mother's wardrobe and left with things instead of bringing. So my said, look. Hey, my husband's already complained to my father-in-law. He's already complaining. There are too many clothes in this house. Please, don't bring it. Don't add to it. Don't add to it. Said my wife, this is prosperity. Yes. What did I call it?
Prosperity.
And you would have that with cars.
Amen.
It's not just houses. It's not just clothes. All kinds of things. Archbishop Benson Dawson in his days, 2 times he dashed in private jets, 2 times he gave it to somebody else. He said, there's no way I'm flying to. That I don't fly first class and somebody else pay. He will pay the ticket. He said, what am I retaining the plane for? To be maintaining it? Who wants plane? He said, you'll be blessed, you'll be a blessing. Amen. Listen, let me tell you, in your life, just try and locate what God's will for your life is. He will open doors of opportunity for you. He will give you gifts, skill, things you know how to do that. When you do them, people's lives will be transformed. Not just what you like to do to make yourself feel happy. There are testimonies that people will tell you that it was when you did this, my life changed. Focus on those things and you'll be amazed what your life will be. You will prosper so much you won't know what to do with money. That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's declare it again. Say, I renounce the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. And the loss of other things. My ears are turned to the truth of God. Say, I will have more understanding than my teachers. Because the Word of God will be my constant meditation. Now listen to this. Say, my money. Say,
my money.
My time. These are some of the greatest resources given to me by the Lord. They will be spent in the pursuit of deeper things of God. Listen, don't say, this book is expensive. If you look into it and it looks like something will come out of it for you, please, it is sell your coat. You getting my point?
Yes,
sell your jacket and buy a book. Was it the Benjamin Franklin or one of them? He said, empty your pocket into your head. That's what the man said. Say, empty your pocket into your head. That's it. Listen, you need understanding. You need insight. If you have one shirt, it doesn't matter. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Just don't have only one book. Yeah, that is, when you know a man who's not going anywhere, you say, marry me. Say, no problem, I'll marry you. Where are the books you are reading? I don't need to read.